Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. I am a martial arts master known for my inspirational work because I've been writing for magazines and putting out books on martial arts philosophy for well over 20 years now. I'm also an ordained and certified clinical pastor, and I have a very extensive career in broadcasting, including radio and news journalism, and being a TV personality. So I don't always say all that, but I thought I would explain to you why I call my program the Eden Assignment, because for much of my life, I was always put on an assignment, and it was always what somebody else wanted me to do, and I had to go out and cover it, and whether I liked it or not. And now I just kind of go out and answer to a different person and cover what I think I need to cover to help make a difference in this world. So that's what's behind the Eden Assignment. And I'm so glad you decided to join me today. I've got a really heavy-duty topic impressed upon me to talk about as my assignment this week, and that is dealing with our unmet needs. Think about that for a second. We're all humans. And all of us, regardless of now or at one time in our life, have always felt like we have needs that aren't being met or have not been met. And oftentimes these needs should have been met by the people closest to us, and they let us down. And I have a theory that the mass majority of the world's problems stem from not getting your needs met. And some of those needs are just God-given birthright needs, just to be loved when you were helpless. I mean, just basic stuff here. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because I have a distant relative one time who told me, well, I actually announced to everybody at the table that she had never had anything really bad happen to her in her life, and she's quite a bit older. She's an older woman. You know, my jaw dropped, and I couldn't stop staring at her because I thought, wow, I have honestly never met anybody who said they've never had anything wrong in their life. She really made me feel messed up. I'm like, wow, that is just unbelievable. I couldn't wrap my head around that thought. As a human being, everybody has something, and she's saying, you know, now well in age that she never had anything bad happen in her life. Of course, she's not counting. She goes, well, I'm not counting the natural things, like, of course, I had to bury my parents and, you know, that kind of thing. But outside of just what the normal causes of life are, I've never had anything bad happen. I took that home with me, and I thought about it. Now, she don't know this, but I actually thought about that statement for days. I mean, I'm like, it was on my mind for just days. I still, years later, sometimes can't get over that statement that she's never had anything bad happen to her in her life. And so I finally came to the conclusion, well, good for you, man. God bless you, because I would love for my own kid to say that someday, you know, when he's in his 60s or whatever, to actually announce, I've never had anything bad happen in my life. That would just be such a blessing. But you know what? I know it's not realistic. So either she's in her own little category, her own percentile in the world, or, you know, she's delusional. I don't know which it is. But most of us cannot say that. I mean, most of us, somewhere in our life, have felt that our needs are not being met. And it is a culprit, in my opinion, to a lot of evil that takes place in this world. I mean, if you think about it, when you don't have your needs met, you can feel very worthless. You can feel like, you know, people are denying you, or people are not considering you someone deserving of something. That all comes from not having your needs met. And this is a topic that, you know, I don't hear a whole lot of people talking about it. Maybe it's just, you know, it's so personal that it's uncomfortable. But welcome to my world. That's what I do. I talk about the uncomfortable things. Okay, so, you know, here's what I want to say. You know, if you honestly feel like you're someone who is not personal time in your life, you know, I want to try to shed some light on that, because it's just a human instinct, a human quality, honestly, to feel that way, first of all. Because everybody's born with a God-given right to feel loved and accepted. That's just a God-given birthright. And when somebody doesn't fulfill those needs of just having to feel loved and worthy, you have to realize that, first of all, 99.9% of chance here, it was not you. It was them. It was their fault. They had something going on that they were incapable, unable, or unwilling to meet your needs. And when you realize that, it takes a lot of the feeling of being outcasted away, in a lack of a better way to put it. And so people who can't meet your needs usually are so self-absorbed in what's going on in their own life at that particular time or in general that they don't have the strength or the energy to even deal with what your needs are. And especially when it comes to childhoods, it happens quite frequently, probably more often than not, because it, you know, having kids cannot always be a convenient thing, and it's not fair and it's not right, but you know what? That's just, unfortunately, it just is an ism. And someone who deals with young people all the time, myself, I can tell you that, you know, it's easy to make babies. It's not easy to bring them up with everything that they need, especially emotionally, to be able to meet their needs. And you factor in other things like emotional disorders, mental illnesses, someone who is going through a hard life and has children. Man, look at the world. Look, that's the way the world is. And now we're continuing to constantly recreate more people that aren't getting their needs met, more spiritual issues and more emotional problems with that. I want to encourage you, if that's you. I want to encourage you, and I want to just give you a couple of secrets that I've learned when it comes down to being someone who didn't get your needs met. As quick as you can, don't focus on that part. I'm not saying to sweep it under carpet, because that creates a lot of mental issues and can create even mental illness. But I'm saying realize, A, it wasn't your fault. Very probable it was not you. It was the other person who was supposed to be meeting your needs. And also realize that the quicker you can deal with this, the quicker you're going to be able to be a complete person that can go into the world and be blessed and be the best version of yourself. Because, my friend, minutes, hour, day, weeks, and years will tick by so fast where you're once again in depression and you're once again out of pocket and you're once again having to go into a place of taking even more drugs and or self-medicating or whatever you have to do. It wastes a lot of time. It's taking the focus off of you right now being the best version of yourself in this world by you constantly going back to how your needs weren't met. And it's not as easy as it sounds. It takes sometimes a lifetime, and that's still not enough time to deal with the fact that you didn't get any needs met, that you didn't get the basic requirements of being loved and being made to feel worthy in this world. I mean, some even more so than that, you were damaged, you were mistreated, and sometimes you go on to a great childhood and go into a marriage and a relationship where you're damaged and you're mistreated, and it plays with your head. When you finally get out of it, you go, wow, I wasted many years on that. I should have got out a lot quicker, but I couldn't because I was in it. You know, not getting your needs met is an evil. It really is an evil. But if you can rise above that and realize, again, that it's taking away your precious time to enjoy a beautiful life, work on that and deal with that in the best way that you can. Sometimes you have to still be around the people who aren't meeting your needs. Don't put the blame on yourself. Dude, it's not because you're not worthy of it. I mean, that's what your mind tells yourself. I'm not worthy of it. That's why I'm not getting my needs met. I don't deserve it. I don't measure up. These are all things that will play in your head because you wonder, well, why the heck can I get my needs met? I mean, everybody on TV is getting their needs met. Everybody on Facebook posting is getting their needs met, obviously. Why can I not get my needs met? I'm not laughing at the situation. It's very serious. But I am letting you know that you can have a very productive life and you can have a beautiful life in spite of your needs not having been met at a particular time in your life. Listen, try to get over the fact that you did not get your needs met. Try to get over the fact and forgive somebody who wasn't capable of giving you what you needed at that particular time in your life. Somebody asked me about forgiveness, and I'm telling you, I know from, you know, just experience, man, that's a hard word. That's a hard word, forgive. How do you forgive someone who was supposed to give you the very basic necessities and emotional things in life that let you down? How do you forgive somebody like that? It's just, it's hard. And I'm not gonna say that you can do it in one little package with a bow on top of it, because you can't. Like, here you go. Here's your forgiveness present. Sometimes, my friends, it is a daily decision to wake up and forgive somebody who did not meet your emotional needs, who did not give you what you deserved and had a God-given birthright to. Sometimes every day you wake up and you have to forgive them on a daily basis. It's that hard to do. Doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if somebody did you very, very wrong, took something from you. There are so many ways that evil can affect your life through people, and not just random people. Sometimes not strangers. Sometimes people who are in your own court who should have your back. I call it an attack. Because that's what it is. It's an emotional attack. It's a spiritual attack to try to drag you down and get you to the point where you can't be the best that you can be in this world. So as we go into this new year, I want you to know you're not alone with your unmet needs. Like I said, I am an ordained and certified clinical pastor. That's just a really fancy name for saying I'm a chaplain who's I've paid all my dues. I have the education and everything behind it. That's what that means. But the bottom line is I do a lot of counseling, and I meet people all the time. And 99.9% of the time, issues always stem from them feeling like they're not worthy or deserving of something because of what somebody did to them. That's usually the case. A lot of times they're mad at God. You know, someone, I just saw something, you know, how do you feel about me being mad about God? It was something like that online. I'm like, dude, cool. You know why? Because if you're mad at God, at least you still believe in him, right? So I don't have a problem with that. That's when you know, that's letting me know that you know, you're still there. You're still in the same ballpark. You still believe. And, you know, when you're a chaplain, people kind of think that you're like the mouthpiece. You're like the godfather. You're like the concierge, right? You're the go-between, the person that goes back and forth between God and that person. And you give the answers and all that stuff. So, you know, it's like, why did God do this? Why, God? Why, blah, blah, blah? And they're yelling at me. You know, I have learned to have to take it. I mean, evidently I'm the answer man for God just because I'm a chaplain. So I'm like, you know, it's just they're getting on my, in my case, I got to take it because I signed up for it. So, you know, and I do my best to help people, but some of those answers are very, very difficult. And I'm not the Almighty God. I know the rules, and I know the regulations on spirituality. I know all these things. But, you know, some of those questions are very difficult. And the bottom line is, here's the bottom line. You know, I remember when I was working for Fox News in Pennsylvania. A few miles in central Pennsylvania, there was an Amish community, kind of like north central area of Pennsylvania. And a great evil took place there where just an Amish schoolgirl, they were having their little school class, and an active shooter came in and just shot every one of those little girls. And the majority of them died. And I mean, I can't explain that. It's just evil. And people like, you know, well, how do you believe in God when you know that? I mean, see, that's one of those really tough questions. But let me finish this story, and I'll let you decide. So they were holding the funerals for this one little girl. She's about 8 or 9 years old. And I remember a reporter went up to the mom who was grief-stricken and asked her, you know, an Amish, very religious person, how do you actually deal with something so horrifically evil such as this? And her answer, I'll never forget it. She said, you know what? No matter what, I will forever be on my knee saying, not my will, God, but your will be done. And I thought, wow, that is just someone of faith beyond anything that I could imagine. Someone to have that kind of faith, to depend so fully and to be so reliant on God, to be able to say, even in the fact of having a child taken away, not my will, but your will be done. You know, that's someone who understands that this life is short for everybody. That's someone who understands that we're all going to have to leave and meet our maker. That's someone who understands the child went first, but we're right behind that child because life is short. Look how this last year went by. Look how just things tick by. See, that is an emotional, what would you call that? I would call that a spiritual maturity to really understand that life and time is short for all of us, and we all are going to have to meet our Creator. So submit to the will of God and don't try to fight it. Just, you know, to be able to flow with the will of God, even in such horrific grief, that blew me away. I mean, I'm there yet. I don't even think I could fathom that. That really blew me away. Ladies and gentlemen, time really is short. I mean, you know, I even have a teenager. He's like, I can't believe this last year, Mom, how fast it went by. It just feels like it was just Christmas, and it's already another Christmas. It does go by fast. That's why I really want to make a point. Don't expend a lot of time and energy on what your unmet needs have been. You know, realize it's not your fault and that you can have a wonderful life and that you can be fully and complete as you are, but don't waste another minute. Try to forgive. Just move in the direction of forgiveness. I'm not saying give a big package of forgiveness with a big bow on it. I'm saying move in the direction of forgiveness for people who have not met your needs, the things that you had a right to, because they were incapable. They were enabled at that time in their life for whatever reason to help make you a whole and complete person. Don't dwell on it. As much as you can, grieve it and let it go. Don't dwell on things that are going to continuously hold you back and will watch another year go by. You know, here's what happens. When you constantly dwell upon how people have mistreated you or let you down, all of a sudden, every time something happens in your life, you resort back to that. Well, gee, I'm not surprised. Lucky me, I get dumped again. You know, I mean, I hear this all the time. Oh, lucky me, you know, I'm not surprised. All of a sudden, everybody gets put in the same group. It's you against everybody who mistreated you. And that becomes a very dangerous place emotionally and spiritually. There is a lot of goodness in the world. There are a lot of people who come from a very good place. And there are a lot of good people who have been in very bad places at their time, meaning they were not in a good place. And it may have affected you. And maybe they're not like that now. And that's a good reason to try to grieve it and forgive them. However, there are a lot of people who are still in that place who mistreated you, and they're going to go to their grave without ever being accountable for it. That, my friend, is when forgiveness becomes tough. But you can do it when you realize that they didn't take away anything from you that you can't have right now through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He promises to bless you in spite of anything that happens in your life. But you have to have the faith in action and reach out and take it. You got to seek God if you want to find him. You can't sit in the mud and the muck and all the despair of your life and expect to find God and find all the goodness and the blessings that come with our God. You have to seek him. And I say God, there's a lot of guys out there. You know, even the devil believes in God. So I want you to know, if you don't know, and you should know by now, my God is Jesus Christ. That's it for me. You know, I'm in martial arts. A lot of people believe in everything. You know, that's not me. I'm sorry. I am what I am. It's just Christ for me. and that's my power source. And, you know, I tell people, I'm not trying to make you believe in what I believe in, but by the same token, I cannot lower my standards of what I believe in. And as a chaplain, I had to come to that conclusion, because in government chaplaincy especially, and I've taken more than one position in quote-unquote government-type chaplaincy jobs, you have to be what they call interfaith, where, you know, you got to be everything to everybody of every faith. Dude, seriously? I mean, do you think I'd want to be a chaplain in my faith if I wanted to go out and condone every other faith out there? That is like the dumbest thing. I mean, that you talk about getting under my skin, my pet peeve. Obviously, I wouldn't sign up to be a holy person in something I didn't believe in. So now what? I got to go do Wiccan rites because I'm a government chaplain? Oh, I tell you what, that's another show for another day. I just want to stick with one topic at a time, or this show is going to be 2 hours long. So we're just going to talk about our unmet needs today. But it is very, very true. The majority of us do have somewhere, someplace in our life. And a lot of people won't even talk about it or go there because it's embarrassing. I mean, you know, nobody really wants to, you know, dig up a lot of the past, because it's like you have to dig it up and then you got to sit in all that mud and muck again. You have to deal with things. You really do. But the fact that you're making a decision and just saying, you know what, I'm moving in the direction of forgiving someone because they were incapable of meeting my needs at that time in my life. If you could just say that and move in that direction, you're dealing with it. You don't have to do anything else about it. You know, I just hope you realize that all the world's problems stem from someone making you feel worthless. That's quite a catch-all statement, and I'm surprised myself the way I just said that, but it's kind of true. I mean, it's kind of true. I don't know. Think about every evil you can. It has to come from somebody somewhere feeling worthless, like they didn't get what they needed. Oh, it's a journey. It's a process. No, I appreciate you guys supporting me and saying such kind things about me. I'm actually a little embarrassed because I'm really probably not as good as you think I am. I'm just someone trying to stand in my truth. That's all. So I get a little embarrassed when I read some of the quotes. They're so great. They're so good. And I want to thank you so, so much. And I hope that I can actually live up to the standards that I'm reading. Because I really, you know, I don't know. I'm on my own journey. I make mistakes, man. So that's really the bottom line. If I mess up, please don't get mad at me. You know, I don't want any pressure of being a special person. I really don't. I just want to be a normal person who can mess up. That's never going to happen. Okay. You know, I write for magazines. You know, I have 4 books out. You know, I have a blog. I don't know, 5,100, 200 people are on it. And I'd like for you to join us. Just go to Master Karen Eden, Master of Inspiration, and read my blog. And then this radio link will be hooked to every particular week blog on the topic that I'm talking about. You'll see it. Otherwise, please also go to amaaradio.com. Thank you, GM Jesse Bowen, every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Mountain. This program will air pre-recorded live on amaaradio.com. I know there's another one like that with the same initials, but this one is ours. It's kind of martial artsy, though I do incorporate, you know, a lot of the martial arts philosophy, because that's what I did for 28 years. But it's more than that, guys. It's about understanding your spiritual journey. That's what it really matters. That's what it comes down to. So anyway, if I can help you, let me know. You know, I'm evidently all over Facebook. You're always on Facebook. That's the feedback I get. Every time I turn around, I'm seeing your picture on Facebook. Yeah, so I don't know. I'll just take the high road on that. And you know how it works, though, right? If somebody likes it, it gets back on the reel. I mean, it's not like I'm constantly posting. So anyway, it's all good stuff. And I pray that God's will be done, even on the fact that I'm always on Facebook. Maybe God's will get done through that. And maybe good things will happen with that. And so you know how to reach me. If I can help you, if I can be of assistance to you and in your world. And I am asking you to pray for us, inner city martial arts. We definitely go out. This is an actual martial arts federation, Blood and Fire Federation. We go out into the most impoverished and crime-ridden areas in the world, these instructors, some of them risking bodily harm and even their own life every time they go in and deal with these youth, these young people, these street kids, to try to make a difference, to teach them life skills and spiritual things. I mean, so pray for them. I mean, I did it for 17 years. I now have enough instructors under me. They go out and they do what I did all over the inner city and east side of Denver. And pray for them because, you know, they need protection and they need to have that confidence. And you really have to put yourself on the back burner when you take a calling to go out and work in these areas. Not everybody can do it. I mean, it's not about money. It's not about convenience. It's about being able to share your knowledge and your confidence and your spirituality with people who need it, this next generation coming up. These guys in my federation are hands-on, making a difference in the world. So God bless you, Jonathan Kruger in Zambia, Africa, and Vasil Flat in Moldova, and Nyasha in Zimbabwe, and all my guys in the inner city and the ghetto parts of Denver. Hey, if you want to do it, let me know. I'll put you in there. If you want to help us and be part of the Blood and Fire Federation and use your knowledge and expertise to make a difference in the world, I will be very gladly to hook you up and send you down to your local ghetto, your local ghetto to make a difference. So it's a calling, you know, if you're not called, it's okay. So probably not going to be any carpet or air conditioning, just so you know, you martial arts instructors, but you know what? It's one of the most fulfilling things you'll ever do. All right. I guess I'm out of time. This has been incredible to be able to talk to you again. I just want to say thank you for listening to this week's assignment. God bless you, and we will see you next week on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.
Australia inspires a fresh take on life. That seize-the-day mindset reflects in all that Outback does, especially in the menu. Outback Steakhouse starts fresh every day to create the flavors that our mates crave. Enjoy mouth-watering steaks, grilled chicken, ribs, fresh seafood, and the world-famous Bloomin' Onion, all at affordable prices down under. Don't forget Outback's unique cocktails, wines, premium liquors and beer, domestic craft, import, and Aussie. Outback Steakhouse is relocated in Cary to 901 Walnut Street across from Cary High School. See you soon, mates. Australia inspires a fresh take on life. That seize-the-day mindset reflects in all that Outback does, especially in the menu. Outback Steakhouse starts fresh every day to create the flavors that our mates crave. Enjoy mouth-watering steaks, grilled chicken, ribs, fresh seafood, and the world-famous Bloomin' Onion, all at affordable prices down under. Don't forget Outback's unique cocktails, wines, premium liquors and beer, domestic craft, import, and Aussie. Outback Steakhouse is relocated in Cary to 901 Walnut Street across from Cary High School. See you soon, mates.